Well, today we're getting ready to have the last Sunday before we go into 2019, and that's always an exciting time, but a dreadful time for some, because the truth of the matter is, even though that we go into 2019, all of us don't know what may happen in 2019. Now, some of us have an idea of some of the good things that may happen in 2019, as we have a granddaughter that's going to get married next November and graduate from A&M in December. And so we're looking forward to that. And so that's going to be a great thing. But I also know that in every high, there's going to be some lows. There's going to be some things that we do not expect that's going to happen along the way. And so today I picked this passage of scripture because every year at the end of the year, I always go back and look at this passage of scripture because of what it means to me personally. We know the story very well. God had brought his children out in order to take them in. And you remember God produced miracle after miracle after miracle to get them to where they were. Once they got to the promised land, the Bible says that God told Moses, said, pick one out of every tribe, send them into the promised land, look it over and bring back word. And so the Bible says that they went in and they looked over the land. All 12 of them looked over the land. And here's what they said when they came out. All of them agreed to this. It's a great land. It's everything that God said it was. As a matter of fact, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that when they came out, they brought a cluster of grapes, and they were so large that they had to pull them between two individuals. But that's where the agreement ended. You remember what the 10 said. They said, it's a great, great land. It's everything that God said it was. But God didn't tell us about the problems of the land. God only told us about the goodness of it, but he didn't tell us about the problems. He didn't tell us about those walls over there, those tremendous walls that are around those cities. God didn't tell us about those people over there and said, as a matter of fact, they're giants in comparison to who we are. As a matter of fact, we look like grasshoppers in their sight, and so are we in their sight, except for two. You remember who they were. They were Caleb and Joshua. And you remember they stood up and they said, oh, wait a minute. God didn't may have not told us about the problems of the land and only told us about the goodness of the land that he was taking us into. But said, let's not rebel. Let us go in and possess the land, for our God is well able. But as scripture says, people begin to mutter and first of all, they blamed Moses, and they said, why did we listen to him? It would have been better to stay where we were than to be where we are. So let us make a captain, and let us go back to where we came from. You see, the only problem of that was they had forgotten where they had come from. They had forgotten how that time after time after time, God had produced miracle after miracle after miracle to get them to where they were. Someone once said that we forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget. Well, the Bible says that Caleb and Joshua said, listen, our God's bigger than the problems. Let us not rebel. Let us go in and possess it once. You remember the remainder of the story. The Bible said the people complained and they blamed Moses and they blamed God for where they were. And God said, if they don't want to go in, that's all right. I'll give them the desires of their heart. I'll lead them out into the wilderness until I raise up a new generation, except for, you know who, Caleb and Joshua. And the Bible literally says, because Caleb had a different spirit. You know what spirit Caleb had? He had a spirit of faith. He believed that his God was bigger than any problem. He was greater than any need. And God sent him back out into the wilderness, and you remember the story. God raised up a new generation to bring them into his inheritance. You see, that's a choice that we have today. As we look at 2019, as we preach about it again tonight, we have a choice of how are we going to look at 2019? Does any one of us believe that everything's going to be great? with no problems, no difficulties, no valleys? No. But you see, are we going to face 2019 believing that our God is bigger than any problem, greater than any need that you and I could ever face? Because what we see is what we are. And I want to show you the difference between the 10 and the 2. And I want to ask you the question, what are you looking at today as we close out this year and begin to go into a new year? What did they see? Well, the first thing that I wrote down was simply this. 10 saw the blessing of the land, but they missed the blesser of the land. You see, they saw all the blessings, but they forgot about the blesser. It's kind of like seeing the gift and forgetting about the gift giver. We've just come out of a season that would have been so easy to have been caught up in that. You see, not intentionally, but I believe that sometimes that happens to children as they grow up, especially at times of Christmas. Kids get excited about the gift, but they pay very little attention about the gift giver. So my question today to you is, what is greater, the gift or the gift giver? What is greater today, the blessing or the blesser? You see, I would have to tell you today that I believe the two saw what was important. They saw the blessing. But beyond the blessing, they saw the blesser of the land. They saw the one that provided the goodness of the land. They saw the gift of the land, the grapes that had to be pulled between two individuals. But yet, over and beyond that, they saw the gift giver of the land. So my question today would simply be this. What are we going to look for in 2019? Are we just going to look for the blessing? Or are we going to be focused upon the blesser? Are we going to look just for the gift? Or are we going to keep our eyes upon the gift giver? Because the gift giver is always greater than the gift. So first of all, 10 saw the blessing, but 2 saw the blesser. The second thing I wrote down was simply this. 10 said the land was too good to be true. Said it's a great land. Said as a matter of fact, it says right here, the land flows with milk and honey. It's a great, prosperous land. But notice what it said in chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. But the children of Israel muttered against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God that we had died in the desert, in the wilderness. Wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children were be a prey? Were it not better for us to return? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return unto Egypt. He said, it's a great land, but it's too good to be true. I knew this wasn't what God promised. God said that he was bringing us out in order to bring us in, but know what it is. As a matter of fact, it's just simply too good to be true. Look at those cities over there with those tremendous walls, and look at those people over there, they're giants. Oh, it's good, but it's too good for us because we can't have it. We can't overcome those walls. We can't overcome those people. You see, the problem was they were seeing it with their physical eyes, but they were missing it with their spiritual eyes. Because you see, my friend, God's word says that we walk not by sight, we walk by faith. And the Bible says that what is faith? Faith is something things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. But listen to this, it goes on to say, And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See, they believed that God was who he said he was, or they would have never left. They must have dreamed about it, and they must have thought about it when they crossed the Red Sea, when they got the manna, when they got the quail, when they got the water out of rock. They continued to know that God was real. But that's where it stopped. But that verse doesn't stop. It goes on and says, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, what God was simply saying is, listen, sure, it's a great land, it's a prosperous land, it's a good land, and sure, there's problems, and sure, there's going to be difficulties, and sure, there's going to be giants in the land, but your God is bigger than the giants. Your God is bigger than the walls. And if you will trust him, that he will reward you for that trust. You see, sometimes we go into 2019 and we just think that it's going to be great. That there's not going to be any problems, there's not going to be any difficulties, there's not going to be any sickness, there's not going to be any more heartache. And then all of a sudden, when we face it, we face that giant in our life, then we become like grasshoppers. And we say, wow, I knew it was too good to be true. My friend, I have spent my life preaching this one simple message. Listen, God didn't come to put you down. God came to pick you up. God loves you. And God desires with all of his heart to bless you and to watch after you. But God never said that it was always going to be easy. But what he did say, that he would always be stronger. They said, it's too good. Caleb and Joshua said, it is good. It is good. We can have it because God has promised it. And sure, there's going to be battles. And sure, there's going to be difficulties. And sure, there's going to be heartache along the way. But our God is bigger than that. The third thing that I wrote down was simply this. They saw walled cities. What the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 28 of chapter 13, nevertheless, the people be strong there in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the people there. That's what they said. They said, man, did you see those walls around those cities? Did you see those problems? Did you see those difficulties? Man, they're big. They're bigger than we are. How in the world are we ever going to take the land if we got to battle the walls? But you know what Caleb and Joshua saw? They saw that the walls had no defense against their God. That their God was bigger than the walls around the cities. You see, my question today, do you believe today that God is bigger than any problem that you'll ever face? That he's greater than any need that you will ever occur in your life? Do you believe tonight that whatever you face, that God is big enough to handle it? You see, most of us respond. Listen, I'm talking to myself. Most of us respond about this. This is why I tell you that I go back to this passage of scripture because I need it. When situations come, what is our first reaction? When problems occur, what is the first action? What happens when the phone rings in the middle of the night before you ever answer it? Immediately fear goes off in your heart because you don't know what's on the other end of the line. And then all of a sudden you face a situation in your life that you've never faced before. It's bigger than you are. What is our response? Here's my response many times. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I've said many times, if it's bigger than I am, you know what I do? I'll drag Judelle into it with me. I'll call her and I'll say, Judelle, what are we going to do? But you know what I'm learning? I'm learning it's not about me. It's not important what I can do. It's not important what we can do. What is important is what can God do. And that God is wanting us to learn in those situations to depend upon God. To know that no matter what we face, that there's no defense that can stand against our God. The victory's already been won. I told you a story one time about this person in revival. When I finished preaching, they walked down the aisle and they caught me after the service. And they said, "Brother Herman, if I do anything," said, "I'm going to win that victory." I said, "You missed the whole sermon." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Listen, we don't fight for that victory. That victory's already been won. 2,000 years ago, on that cross, Jesus paid it all. You're not a loser. You're a winner. And what God wants you to learn and for me to learn in our life is that our God is able to take care of his children." Amen? Let me give you the fourth thing that I saw. Not only did 10 of them see walled cities and 2 of them saw that there was no defeat, that they were already defeated, but Caleb saw bread. Did you notice that in the passage of Scripture? Notice what it says in verse 9. This is Caleb. He said, "Only rebel not against them, against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land." Now listen, "for they are bread." They are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. "And the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Notice what he said. He said, "Listen, they're bread." Wow. Bread is what? Listen to me. What is bread? Bread is nourishment. Have you ever heard the saying, bread and water? Bread and water. Why? Because bread is nourishment. And you know what Caleb was saying? He was simply saying, "Listen, sure, there's a problem." But he said, "This problem is a nourishment for us. This is an opportunity for us to grow. This is an opportunity for God to show himself strong to his children. Don't rebel. Don't want to go back. Use this opportunity to grow in your life." Wow. Folks, the truth. Listen, the truth. Every one of us in this room have grown more in the valleys of life than we have on the mountaintops. Every one of us. I've said many times, listen, on the mountaintop, the air is not the thickest. The grass is not the greenest. The rivers don't flow across the top. But it's down in the valley where the grass grows the most and the rivers run. And the air is the thickest. You know why? Because it was in valleys in our life that you and I learned that our sufficiency was not in us, but it was in God. I was sharing with earlier that through many heartaches in our life, difficulties in our life are the moments that we depend upon God the most in our life. But you know what I find? I find that every time that we go through those moments in our life, we come out stronger than we did when we went in. We come out stronger. Why? Because they were only opportunities for us to grow. Let me give you the last thing. I know I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch, so I'm going to make this quick. Let me give you the last thing. They saw themselves, but they missed the point. They saw themselves, but they missed the point. Notice what they said. They said in verse 33, "We saw the giants." We saw them, people over there. They're tremendous. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They were so much bigger. But notice what he said. He said, and so were we in their sight. You see, the way you see yourself is the way other people are going to see you. Think about it. They were giants. They said, we're only grasshoppers. They convinced themselves they were only grasshoppers. And so therefore the giants saw them as what? Grasshoppers. But they saw themselves as they were, but they missed the point. Because here's the point. When you and I are nothing, God becomes everything. Amen? When you and I become nothing, God becomes everything. They missed that. You see, Paul, he said that. Paul said that right here in the book of 2 Corinthians when he said, when he was talking about the thorn, here's what he said. He said, for this thing that I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made weakness, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities. You know what Paul says? He said, I want to tell you, I would rather be weak so that my God can be strong. Wow. 2019's coming. God loves you. God wants you to have the greatest year that you could have ever had in 2019. Is it going to be without problems? No. Are there going to be highs? Probably many of them. But there's going to be some lows. But through it all, your God is still God. And he wants you and I to learn that how we look at things will depend on our outcome. If we go in it defeated, believing that it's too good to be true, that some way, somehow, that God doesn't care, that we're standing alone, that's how others are going to see it. But if we go in it as Caleb and Joshua and simply say, whatever comes, my God is able. What a year it'll be. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you know all about this God, but you don't know this God personally in your life. I want you to know that when he died upon that cross, he died for you. He died for you. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You're not, I'm not, no one is. We've all sinned, but when he died for you and for me. And he said, if we'll believe that in our heart and be willing to confess it with our mouth and repent of those sins, that he'll come into our life and he'll change us and he'll be our God. And we have a personal relationship with him. You'll never be alone. He'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And his power will live within you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. But maybe you've never trusted that power. Maybe God's been speaking to you. I would pray today that before this new year ends, this year ends and a new year begins, that you would trust him as your personal Savior. You've thought about it, but you've never done it. Maybe today's that day. Maybe today you're here and you're facing 2019, and I'll just be honest, maybe 2018's been a hard year for you, but 2019's going to be a greater year for you. And maybe today you just want to come and have somebody to pray with you and say, you know, I want to be like Caleb and Joshua going into the promised land. I know there's going to be difficulty, and I know I face some, but I want you to know I'm going to go in it believing that my God is bigger. And would you pray that I could have that kind of faith? And maybe you need to come to do that. Maybe you need to join a church. I don't know. But only you know what God wants you to do. 2019 is coming. And what you see will be what you'll be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. And God, I know that I'm guilty of every one of these points today. And God, that sometimes I look for the blessing more than I look for the blesser. God, I want the gift and I forget about the gift giver. God, sometimes I think it's just too good to be true. And God, there's other times that I see problems and walled cities and wonder what I'm going to do. And that God, I forget that every opportunity that comes is only an opportunity to grow in you. And then God, I forget that God, that when I'm nothing, you can be everything. God, I confess before these people that God, that many of those things that I battle with. And I guess that's why you bring me to this passage at the end of every year, as I go into a new year, that I can go in with the faith of Caleb and Joshua. So God, I pray for people here. I pray for some that are hurting. I pray for those that, God, that are struggling. I pray for some of those that are here today that don't know you. God, I pray for those that need a church home. God, some of those that just need somebody to pray with them, that feel lonely and left out. So God, this is your invitation. The altars are open, and whatever you ask us to do, I pray that we would do it. God, we'll stand here for a moment to receive those that may want to receive you as their Savior, or maybe somebody just wants prayer, or somebody wants to join a church. So God, this is your invitation. It's not about us. It's all about you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Howard, you lead us.